Good morning. You're listening to the James Bishop Radio Show on GPG Radio at gpgradio.com. As you know, this show is all about visiting with those artists who have paved the way. And we're so excited to have with us a very special guest for this broadcast. And that's none other than the Stellar Award-nominated writer of the project, Vision, from Charlotte, North Carolina, Dr. Patrick Love. How are you, Dr. Love?
Good morning, everybody. How you doing?
Doing well, man. We are so excited to have you, man. And thank you so much for, you know, taking out some time to visit with us. We do this show to kind of bridge the gap because, you know, we have a lot of new artists out there. And one of my goals is to make sure that, you know, those that have come before them are not forgotten and they are respected and honored like they should be. And I consider you to be one of those individuals.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
No problem, man. Listen, you are a phenomenal artist, producer, songwriter, and as I said earlier, we have a lot of aspiring artists and new artists that are out there. Tell them a little bit about, you know, Patrick Love. What got Patrick Love interested in gospel music? What lit that fire? What sparked that got you interested in pursuing this career?
I think early on, my family was music lovers. And every once in a while, my dad would take me out to these little quartet shows. And I just fell in love with guitar players, bass players, and drummers. So, and then I was exposed to choir music, you know, through church, you know. In church, I sang on the choir, youth choir, and all that, and the love just began to be inside of me for that. It was prophesied over my mom that one of her family members would play, so all of my sisters, well, my sister, my brother, and my mama, too, went and started taking lessons, and then it just fell on me. You know what I'm saying? It just fell on me, man, and the love for it has been there ever since. I had great influencers around me. John P. Key, before you guys even probably knew who he was, you know what I'm saying? But he was one of the guys that would come by the church, and I would sit and play. He would move me off the keyboard because I couldn't play. My mama would send him over there, get him off the keyboard because he can't hear me. He don't know my song. a guy by the name of James Clayton Davis here in the city. They were very, very instrumental in me beginning to even be in that arena. So that's where I started, man. And of course, there's a lot of more other people that were around, and I was just fortunate to land in places that groomed me. To where I am today, you know, all the way up until in my teens, I met Donna Lawrence, Kevin Bond, and all those guys were great influences because they allowed me to up my game a little bit by just sitting watching them operate in their gifts. So that's where it all started. It's been a growth process, and I still say today that I'm still growing, man.
Wow. I mean, I appreciate you sharing that the influence the family had on you in church, that, you know, how that helped to shape you. And you mentioned, you know, Kevin Bond and John P. Key, and man, you know, how did those connections happen? You say you just kind of landed in the right place. I'm pretty sure you had to do some things to kind of build those relationships. How did that happen?
And landing is exactly what happened with John P. Key. He was just around, you know, the city. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I remember him doing workshops here and stuff. And I would go past some of those at 16. I remember him doing one of the first recordings I ever set in. So it just happened to be that way. And as I began to write and stuff, I was a part of a church called the Salem Baptist Church here in the city. That's where the A.L. Jenright Mass Choir came out of. It was named mm-hmm. after the pastor at the time, Bishop Anthony L. Jenright. And man, I began to write. The church began to grow. The choir was 100 plus. And then wow. all of a sudden, Donald Lawrence walks in the back door and becomes a part of our church, along with one of the other guys. I don't know if you remember Donald Lawrence, the company, the guys. I know he mm-hmm. has a company mm-hmm. now, but it was a couple of guys got the company. And one of the guys became our minister of music, Richard Odom. And all our church became one of the beacon lights for gospel music in the city. So Donald began to hear what I did. The church wanted to do a recording. They just took a chance. Let's record. We recorded Wait on the Lord. I don't know if you guys remember that. Wait on the Lord. Yeah. yeah. So with that one, that's when I started to begin to... Actually, I ran into Kevin at the Songwriter's Point of View record. And some of Kirk's record as well. So mm-hmm. we built a relationship there. And that's where it started, man. And it's just things that just fell in place. And from there it went. So there it went.
Well, that's what we call favor, right?
there you have it, right there.
So Donald Lawrence, a giant. I mean, I know you've done some things yeah. with Ricky Diller, Rodney Bryant, I believe. I mean,
yeah,
several a host
for those guys.
Man, so writing is seems to be one of your strong points. So take us through that creative process. I mean, what is it like for Patrick to write a hit song? What tell us about
for
that.
Me, man. I think it's more inspiration. Mm-hmm. I think I have a harder time sitting down and say, I'm going to write a song about this. Mm-hmm. But I can walk to the piano, sit down and begin to the songs just start coming to me. You know what I'm saying? Write the vision. I think Write the Vision was, and I'm probably getting ahead of the game, but Write the Vision was written from a church theme. We needed a theme song for the church because they was working on a vision project. So a new facility and stuff like that. So that song came from out of that. He's the keeper. I was at work and all of a sudden I heard this song in my head. And I wow. did not want to forget it. So I sang it. I sang it all day. You know what I'm saying? I sing it all day long. And just things like that would just happen. On the first record we did, Wait on the Lord, is this song called Doing Great Things for Me. It was also on Rodney Bryant's record.
Yes.
A couple of our friends were sitting around, and for some reason the conversation sparked on the Lord doing great things. We were all laughing and playing around, so I just started playing the song and laughing and singing the song. And they was like, "No, I don't think it was very country sounding." Little quartet, they were choir members. But then it ended up being one of our songs for the record. I just redid it. Wow. So stuff like that would just happen, man. It just happens. It continues to happen. It still happens that way. It's just inspiration, man. It just comes. I sit now and just wait. Now I pray and I just wait and see what's going to happen sometimes. Sometimes it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and the Lord just drops it on me. And go from there, man. Each song is different. Each song is different. Comes a different way.
Well, that's one thing I do notice about your music when you talk about difference and the fact that you're inspired in so many different ways. That some artists, you can tell, I don't want to use any names, but you can say, oh, that's Joe Blow's song, or Joe Blow wrote that song, or that's Joe Blow's sound. With you,
right.
I mean, you're so diverse, man, and that's That's amazing to have that type of skill. And so, man, I commend you. And God, that's just a testament to how awesome God is, how he can work, you know.
Yes.
You're listening to James Bishop Radio Show on GPG Radio at gpgradio.com. And we're here with our special guest, Dr. Patrick Love. And we're just talking a little bit about him, where he's been, and we're going to get to where he is now. And you mentioned, Dr. Love, about having a 100-voice choir at your church at one point in time. Today, we see more of praise teams, ensembles. Do you envision there being a pivoting of going back to how choirs used to dominate the churches back in the 80s and the 90s? How do you feel about that?
I'm not sure if they will be able to dominate as they did back in the 80s and 90s, but I do think the significance of the choir in the church is going to come back. I don't know how it's going to come. I don't think it's gone from some regions. I think in certain regions, like the Chicago area, in Detroit, I think they're still living, and they're living in great number. You know what I'm saying? So, I think the New Age church, so to speak, and I can't really tell you why they moved to that particular format, but I think that that's what they're moving to. So I do see them starting to institute certain things, like having a choir every so often, but I don't see that being their main thing. But I think the churches that have been for many years, I think their choirs will remain, and then certain areas they will strengthen again. I think whatever is put before us through media, I don't know why I keep going back to that, is what we grasp hold to. And because certain areas and regions have moved away from choir music on radio, the newer Christian or the newer generation swings to whatever is put before them. That's all. So I think that's big. That's just my opinion. You know, my opinion. I don't know if it's the gospel, but that's what I see. That's what I see.
Well, I remember growing up, man, that's all you would hear, whether it was the Tommies, Mississippi Mad. I mean, I loved it.
Right.
You would always hear good gospel choir music over the airways. I mean, it just dominated. Right. The era, so
yeah.
I will always be partial to choir music. I just love it so much, and I hope that it'll get back to where it used to be.
Yeah, the strange part about it, when you look at the early 90s as well, at least 90 through 95, we had a big contemporary music push in gospel music too, but we had a tendency to swing back to the choir. Now it's because the choir music was still on the radio. Now a lot of places just don't play it. So it's not, you know, unless it's Ricky or maybe sometimes Dick Donald stuff, a lot of times you don't hear a lot of choir music, at least in my region. Just let me talk about my region. So with that said, if it's not put before you, you don't eat it.
That's a good point.
That's it.
And I have to throw my man Hezekiah Walker some love too, because he's been doing it for a while.
He's
still doing it.
Yeah,
great.
I love Bishop. Yeah.
So
I love those guys. Now, one thing I will say about him, Ricky, Donald, and a couple of them, they really embraced me when I came into the industry, and I really appreciate them for that. So.
Awesome. So you brought up the word industry, and that's something I wanted to talk to you about. If you compare where you are now in the industry as to when you started, what are some of the significant changes that you see or have seen?
Well, now I'm a guy looking from the outside in. Mm-hmm. Because I actually called myself a retired artist because I left the industry because I didn't feel like I could trust it. Okay? So, but if I looking from the outside in now, I think the game has changed so much from the way we do business to the way our records are played. You got to hustle a little bit more now. That's just my opinion. The indie artist has to really work hard. And then, and on the other hand, I think the industry is too concentrated in certain ways. So, just my opinion. I'm just looking from the outside in. I don't even consider myself to even be in the industry right now. So I took a back seat for a minute. So it's hard for me to really answer that all the way, but just, of course, again, this is my opinion looking from the outside. So it has changed. You can tell the music has changed. The way we make money from what we do has changed. So we just had that conversation today. iTunes has changed the game.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? So we don't get paid streaming like we get paid when it spins. So, and it can't be that way because these companies will go broke if they did that. Because if I had a million streams a day, I mean, what are they going to do? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
yeah.
It's my opinion. So that's it.
Appreciate that. But this is James Bishop Tubman on the James Bishop Tubman Radio Show. On GPG Radio, and we are visiting with Dr. Patrick Love. So we're going to pause here for a station break, and we're going to come back and continue our discussion.
Holding on to our faith. Give the Lord a hand praise. Come on.
I'm holding to my faith.
You're listening to the James Bishop Radio Show on GPG Radio at gpgradio.com. We are here with our special guest, Dr. Patrick Love. We have a great discussion going on. And I'm going to pick up here, Patrick, and I want to ask you a question. If you could kind of tell your listeners, tell our listeners about one of the most challenging times you had, you know, in your career. One of those times where you just said, you know what, I've had enough, I'm done. You walk us through that and how you came out.
Okay. Well, I think the challenge was for me, and I think it's two parts to this, industry and ministry. Industry-wise, I just saw the industry. I didn't know the industry that much. And that's not that's not anybody's fault but mine. So I made some mistakes. And I didn't see the point. Now, another thing was that I thought I was pointing to the industry and not getting back. That could have been, that's probably another conversation. Not getting back what I knew I was supposed to get back. So I was like, well, I don't have to do this. You know what I'm saying? I also was, you know, I believe in relationships. And I felt like the relationships were more to get from me than they were, you know, to help me, so to speak. So I really wasn't interested anymore in industry. And then some life things happened back home that I felt like I owed it to the industry to walk away for a minute. Because you can say industry to me all day is separate to the ministry. But I believe they go hand in hand in my world. Okay? And I could not stand before people until I was had myself together on another end. So I took time off. During my time off, even before I took the time off, ministry-wise, I was burnt out. I remember I was a part of a ministry that just took me, and it drug me. It drug me to the point where I had nothing left. And I remember saying I quit everything. You know, I don't want to be minister of music no more. I don't want to be a part of this industry anymore. So at the end of, I'm going to quit. I'm going to come to church. I ain't going to give up on God. I'm going to come to church. And when the preacher started getting to his place where he says, say yes, say yes, I'm going to walk right out that door and I'm going home to watch the football game.
Wow.
Because I'm done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, man, he go one of those songs again. I sit down at the keyboard during that time, and he bursts a song that says, I feel a change. He says, I'm so glad trouble don't last always. I was fortunate to put it on Juanita Bynum's record. Mm-hmm. So it's called Change on the Way. On the Way. And man, the song that saved me.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? That saved me because it let me know that, look, I'm with you during this time. You know what I'm saying? And although it looks like this now, there's a change coming.
Wow.
There's a change coming. And the crazy part is, I went through this again even after change, and at times I could be a loner. So I decided one night I'm going to go up here to this little McDonald's and get me some food. I'm going to go back home. And man, I was going through that night. And and everybody knows that I'm a jokester as well. I got up to the drive-thru and the girl was not the prettiest thing in the world. And I just said, woo. So I'm just sitting there with that on my face. And she brings me my bag. I pay her. She comes back. She brings me my bag. And in my mind, I'm going through what I'm going through. And she says this word right here. She said, wait a minute. Wait for your change. And when she said, wait for your change, I didn't even think about money. She don't know what she spoke to me that day.
Oh my goodness.
He said, wake up, wait for your change. And Doc, that helped, that brought me out of the darkness into the marvelous light that night. Seriously. So
my God.
Those were my challenges. And I've had many challenges in ministry, but that one right there almost sent me into a place. And it took me a long time to really say, okay, I'm going to be minister of music again. I'm going to try this one more time. I'm going to give it one more try. So that was the challenge, man. I mean, it's been more, but that was one significant one right there. And I think that's what sent me into where y'all didn't see me anymore either. You know, you guys didn't see me anymore because I quit.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't.
I'm just saying, man, I quit. And, you know, in this industry, wise, if you quit, it takes you a long time to get back in it, man. So,
wow.
And that's where we are. Because by the time I got back, the industry was changing. Yeah, okay. It changed. Okay. And then now, you know, I'm on my way back again, and it's changed again. So there we are.
So it's constantly changing, basically what you're saying. So if you're listening to us and you're a minister of music, and, you know, I was at one point in time before I became a pastor, and Dr. Love talked about this burnout. I hope you heard what he said. The Lord spoke through someone in McDonald's a word, wait for your change. So I hope you, those of you that are dealing with burnout right now, I feel in my spirit that there are many, especially with this pandemic going on. You just heard the word, wait for your change. I want to encourage all of you that just wait for your change and hang in there, because God will change that situation. So, Dr. Love, you talked about, you know, the industry again, and how it's constantly changing. So based on your career, and you did touch on the fact that you did take some time away, and now that you're kind of getting back into things, based on what you've experienced to date, if there was one thing you could change, or one or two things, however you want to answer this, about the industry today, what would that be?
You're gonna get me in trouble on this lady. I would think it would be the executive area of the industry, their scope, because I think we've been robbed of the actual scope that gospel music was supposed to have. I'm gonna say it the right way. Gospel music is more than just an art. It's way more than just an art. But I think the powers that be look at it as they look at R&B. It's dollars and cents. And when we finally started doing that, nothing wrong with that. But when we started doing that, it swayed us into other areas. You got to look a certain way. You got to sound a certain way. You got to say a certain thing. You can't say this. We need you to say that. Oh, we don't like your song, so we ain't going to put it on that record. So we need to take that song out of that record, out of that flow. Where it's working in the community, where it ain't going to work on radio. You know what I'm saying? So stuff like that, you know, and you bound because you signed the papers.
Wow.
You feeling me? And then on the other hand, it's really hard for the indie guy to get the love of the guy that signed the papers in most areas. So I would change that. I would like to change that to get back to where we used to be, you know. And I know you probably won't, but, you know, it is what it is. So.
Yes, sir.
That's my change. And I like to see our younger people live that life too, man. You know what I'm saying? Go through some development. This is what you cannot do on social media. This is what you cannot say on social media. Matter of fact, you gotta live a life, man, that's at all times you're subject to be on social media. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You just cannot. It kills your witness, believe it or not. kills you with me. So, and that's just it. That's me.
I told the church, it's dangerous because a lot of us have schizophrenic Facebook page. I mean, one day you quoting scriptures, the next day you showing somebody's backside or something. You need to make up your mind who you're gonna serve.
right.
You are exactly right. Well, man, we've got to get to this project, The Vision. You are nominated for a Stellar Award, and man, that song swept the country, man. I mean, man, that people were singing that song left and right. But it's still to this day one of my favorite songs, man. Right, The Vision.
Oh, well, thank you.
Tell us about that, man. How was that birth?
Well, you know, like I said earlier, our church had a theme at that time that it was working on. It's called Vision 2000. Our scripture came from Habakkuk, where it said, write the vision, make it plain. And so I was just writing it for the church. I had no idea that it would take off like it did. Or even, I didn't even plan for that song to be the single. And it ended up being the single. And it just went from there. I mean, everywhere you go, it's Touching Love, Write the Vision Guy. I'll be like, man, I've written so many other songs, but I'll be the vision guy for the day. yeah, man, that's where that came from, man. I had no clue that even today, even right now, people are still singing that song in their churches, and I had no clue. I was sitting at, me and a young lady sit at the piano and mapped it out. I told her to write what I'm playing, write this down. And so, and I didn't really get the vamp of the song, It Is So, until we got to rehearsal that night. So,
wow.
And that's what happened, man. That's what happened.
Man, you're telling me the song was complete, but not complete till you got to rehearsal.
So I got to the
and you had the vent.
That's right.
Wow, man. God is amazing. Man, that song is incredible.
It is amazing.
Patrick,
oh, man. Thank you.
That's a timeless piece, a classic. And like you said, it still has relevancy. And it's people still sing it, man. That's just one of those.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's like you say, you know, most artists, they get hinged to one song. People just know them based on that one song. But you've written several timeless pieces.
Oh, man.
But The Vision, I have to be one of those. Those heavy ones, man, that will always be associated with you, no matter what. So before we let you go, man, I want to thank you again for giving us your time and sharing your experience. And I know you mentioned earlier that you were, you know, kind of creeping back into the industry, and I noticed you've had some other things going on with your music group. Could you tell us a little bit about that, the P-Love music group that you have going?
Sure. Let me say thank you to you all for having me, man. I am so honored, you know, to be here. We are working on an EP that's, I know one single is supposed to be released mid-January. It is called Better. We've been working on this project for a while. This project will also have a few songs that we recorded early on, like in 2000, early 2000, 2005, 2006, that you guys didn't get to hear. Because that's when I, you know, left the industry. So you guys didn't get to hear, but we're re-releasing those and a couple of more. I try to do a little bit of everything on here. Keep the sound that people know me from, as well as maybe give the sound of today in that particular project as well. Now, this is phase one of that project that will be out because COVID stopped the next part of it. So as soon as we get to the point where we can finish the other half, it's just a mixtape, like, You subject to hear something neo-soul-ish. You know what I'm saying? You subject to hear something GMWA-ish. It's just something different. So once it's all finished, both parts, then I wanted people to see my writing diversity as well. You know what I'm saying? I heard Jeff LeViolet say something last night, and I take his thought too. I'm not really that singing guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm Kirk's little brother, but I'm really his big brother. You know, we're going to talk to him all this bit.
Well, then I'm the little brother then.
But we're going to do what we got to do. I am featuring a couple of folks that are really dear to my heart here in the city. Got some wonderful people singing behind me. And my older groups, where the David will be with me on some of the other stuff as well. So, man, it's been a journey. But I think the Lord is about to bring it to fruition. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful.
Man, we are looking forward to the comeback, if I can call it that.
Oh.
For all of you that are listening, be on the lookout for Better. It's coming in mid-January. We want you to pick it up.
Right.
Support our dear friend, Patrick Love. In closing, I would like for you to just give some advice to the younger artists, the new aspiring artists that are coming. If it's something that you can kind of impart some wisdom you could give them, we would really appreciate it as we seek to bridge that gap between those that paved the way and those that are here now.
Okay. I would just say, man, you guys are amazing from what I'm hearing from you guys. It's even some of the indies. Keep on keeping on. Keep Christ first always, and not the fame, not the fortune, because it's only what we do for Christ that's going to last, and that's it.
Wow. Hey, long as Christ is in the equation, you can't go wrong. Listen, man, thank you again. We love you. We appreciate you. We'll be looking for this new project that's coming out, and if there's anything we can do for you, man, just reach out to us. And to all of you that are listening to us, again, this is the James Bishop Radio Show on GPG Radio
at
GPGRadio.com. Now let's shift our ears to the hit track, The Vision, from the Stellar Award-nominated artist, Patrick Love. God bless you, and until the next time.
For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak. And not lie. I guess what we're trying to say tonight, that if the Lord said it, you can count on it, and he'll do just what he said. Come on, El, just like Miles Clark had said, like the vision.
Make it plain.
That they may
run.
Though the fish is only for a while,
it's only for a while,
it shall speak
and not lie.
For if the Lord said,
the Lord said,
you can count on, and he'll do just what he said. Any witnesses tonight? Say it again, right? And
make it plain
that they may
run
and not faint. Though the fish, hallelujah, is only for a while. But at the end it shall speak, and not lie. Come on, choir, let them know that if the Lord said, you can count on it tonight, and he'll do just what he said. toe. Yes, it is. And he'll do just what he said. I know he will do. I believe I got my witness in there. Aldo says he called Aldo and say, it is so. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
The vision tonight. Stand with the vision tonight. Hallelujah.
The Lord has given you a vision tonight. That's for you. No matter what the devil says, no matter what people say, you know, people will get jealous of you, won't support you. It seems like whatever the Lord told you to do, it just seems like every door has been closed in your face. Just keep this in mind, that if the Lord said it, you can count on that. And he'll do just what he said. So you just shout in the devil's face and say, it is so. Come on, give the Lord praise.